Welcome back to the Dogs of War podcast. It's great to have you on the program as always, and we hope you had a great holiday. This episode is brought to you by Szabo Apparel Company. You know there's at least one person you forgot to buy a gift for, so go check out szaboapparel.com and pick out something good. On today's episode, Raleigh and I discuss Christmas, the Jets game, and then bring on reoccurring guest Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com to break down the battle we have this Sunday. Let's go. I still believe through the cold and through the heat, through the rain and through the tears, through the crowds and through the cheers. Oh, I still believe. La, la, la.
Hang on. That was going to sneeze. All right. You can bring it in.
Kevin, did you think it was going to be that easy? Did you think that the Cleveland Browns were just going to waltz into the playoffs with no emotional roller coaster attached? I'm not talking to you. I mean, I'm asking you since you're here, but I'm talking to everyone, really.
Sure didn't, Raleigh. Sure didn't.
We all knew something was going to happen to, you know, bring the heart rate back up, back to that normal Browns BPM of, what, about 180? I don't really know what a high heart rate is, but something high.
60 is like 60 to 90 is like resting. 60 to 80 is like resting. Anything over like 100 is like, eh. I have a history of heart thing, so I know that stuff, unfortunately. Anyway.
Well, that's convenient for this analogy.
Yes.
So 130. We're back to 130. Let's get into it. Before we talk about the Brown stuff, the kick and the balls that happened.
I'm the Dogs Sunday. Of War podcast with Kevin and Raleigh.
Yeah, we got to say that. Dogs of War podcast, Raleigh and Kevin. Kevin and Raleigh, holla.
We here.
How's Christmas?
Christmas was good, man. Obviously it was very different for everyone this year, but I have no complaints. Got to have, just the immediate family all in one house. All of us have had COVID, so there wasn't really any need to be concerned or worry about anything there. So that was nice and relaxing. I don't know if does happen with everyone with age, or am I just a loser where I love opening up like new socks and like briefs and undershirts and clothes? That's like, these are trips I have to make to the store now.
You're not alone with that, Kevin. And the reason I asked that question about Christmas, I didn't really care about, what you did with your family. I'm talking presents, baby, because I get jacked as a...
We are a family-friendly podcast. Yeah. That's why we have to talk about the family, of course.
Yeah, family's sick, health, happiness. I'm happy everyone's doing okay. But this year, gift-wise, I cleaned up on the receiving and the giving of the present. I am still high-fiving myself for what became. Before we get into that, quick shout out to the unpaid intern Sebastian, who ran my fantasy football team, and we won. So good job, Sebastian. I will be sending you a gift card to Applebee's or something of that nature.
We did get him a nice hoodie from Szabo Apparel for Christmas.
Yeah,
so sure. get him something that's not that.
Yeah, I'll get him something sick. Probably just cash, whatever. Anywho, Christmas. So things that I got from my parents, the biggest box in the room. You know, when you're a little kid and you see a giant box and you're like, oh shit, what is this? Oftentimes those large boxes are underwhelming. So I was thinking like, what is it, shelves or something? I'm an adult in body, but I don't want shelves.
Or a vacuum cleaner, yeah.
Vacuum cleaner, that doesn't really do it for me. It was a Cleveland Browns Wilson golf bag, and it's sick.
Ooh, so standard cart.
Stand. It's got the stand.
Beautiful.
What do you mean a cart? Like, I didn't get a golf cart.
You and I both caddied for over a decade. There's a stand bag and a cart bag.
Oh, yeah. Stand bag. Sorry. My bad. Correct. Anywho, so that's what I got. Plus, like a Browns crossword puzzle. It was sick, but not as sick. And some Brown slippers from Kate's sister, Molly. Shout out, Molly.
But I forbid you to wear those slippers this season over those socks. Don't be switching up any of the juju now.
That's
juju, pun intended.
Yeah, I'm not touching them on game day.
Okay, good.
Don't get me wrong. But so the giving of the presents. So I told Kate that she's going to be getting something sweet. It sucks whenever you're married or you have a significant other. It's like, what do we get each other? Like, I don't know the first thing to get. It's like another pair of Lululemons, you know, spend enough money where it's a good gift, but how often can you be thoughtful, whatever? So here's what I did. She opens the box and it's an Xbox controller. And she wanted to kill me. And I said, this way, because now, long story short, the headphones that I have for the Xbox, they were like not compatible with the controller I was playing with. So she would hear me like talking into the TV and hearing all the sound effects with my buddies. So I'm like, babe, I got me an Xbox controller so you don't have to hear me when I'm playing with Party and the boys crushing it in Fortnite. She's around my family and you can see the look of pure hatred in her eyes. I think she was contemplating divorcing me for like 30 seconds there. But then I said, oh, is there something else in the bottom of that box? And then underneath some tissue paper that I placed strategically was like a little comic book, like a meme booklet, if you will. Did you ever see the Peloton commercial, the controversial one?
Oh, yeah. With the lady?
Yeah. It's basically this really hot lady gets a Peloton from her husband. And the controversy was like, she was already in shape, or why did you I don't even know the controversy, but it was a thing. And so I made a still frame from that commercial, and it shows the lady, and she has her eyes closed for Christmas, and she says, I can't wait to see what Santa got me. And then she opens her eyes, and she has a crazy look. She says, wow, Santa got me an Xbox controller. He's a selfish piece of shit. And then it shows the guy, and the guy goes, yeah, babe, plus I got you a Peloton. Boom, I got her a Peloton.
So you got her she thought she was getting the controller, the headphones, and it's actually a Peloton. That's a hell of a move. I gotta give credit where due. That's dope. So now you're doing what I started doing. Well, I learned to start doing this year is get gifts for people that you can also benefit from and use.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was another part of like the
Kate, I'm not saying Kate does either, but you and I don't really need a Peloton because our bodies chiseled, are perfect. You don't get bodies like these overnight. Like I don't need a Peloton to look this good. I still do it, but that's incredible though. Yeah. You know what I found a great, and here's a tip for all you youngins out there of legal age, of course. You get the $25 set of four Moscow Mule mugs off Amazon Prime. They're like beautiful Moscow Mule mugs, perfect copper. You get a little bottle of Tito's, free ad, some ginger beer. Anyone wants, even if they already have a Moscow Mule gift bag, is like a home run gift. Not just for Christmas, for any gift, holiday, birthday. So I learned that this year. I gave like three or four of those away. That's my new thing moving forward.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to do that next year.
It's perfect.
That's, basically, it covered a lot of things that I try to scheme for when doing Christmas presents, specifically with Kate. One, can I use it? Two, make sure you make it super dramatic so it like inflates the awesomeness of the present by getting her a present that you're actually also going to use for yourself.
Yep.
Shout out Xbox controller. And
if you actually got her, there's actually a new controller in there.
Oh, yeah. That's.
I thought you like wrapped one of your current. Okay, I got it.
No, it's a new Xbox controller, and that's for me. So just a big win all around. And, you know, I didn't think anything could happen to my weekend to put a damper on it, but let's get into the Browns, baby.
Let's do it. And hey, like you said when we started the episode off, the gall of some folks around here, and again, I've said this on every episode, the thing I love the most is that we wait until a few days after the game to record our episode so we don't shoot right from the hip and lose our minds. We let it digest for a little bit, let it settle. But the gall of people who thought that we were just going to walk into the playoffs with absolutely no issues, unscathed. So much has happened in the last few days. The 12 hours before the Jets game. Let's start there. Where were you? I think you and I were texting each other when we found out that half our team was just not playing because of COVID.
I was in the process of telling my story about the Peloton to all my relatives and stuff the following day when I got hit with the hey alert, Cleveland's entire defense or receiving core doesn't have COVID but was exposed to BJ Goodson who has COVID. They're all hot tubbing or something.
They're in like the cool tubs or the hot tubs. Yeah, they're in the recovery tubs after. They weren't clubbing, they were tubbing.
Yeah, and it's Yeah, it was a recovery hot tub. They're doing what they're supposed to do, taking care of their bodies. Should probably just spread it out a little more next time. I think they got dinged with the proximity beeper.
Yeah, so I think, was it Baker when he was on the podcast over the summer? Whoever it was, when they were telling us about, maybe it was Emily was explaining it to us, actually, Emily Mayfield, that all the players on all the teams in the NFL, they wear those lanyards. And if you go within 6 feet of someone, it kind of like beeps and lets you know you're too close. And then also with that, so if someone tests positive, they can take those IDs and then see exactly who you were close to the last few days or whatever. So yeah, we got the news that literally, I remember got like a text or someone like across the room was like, oh, Jarvis is on the list for COVID. I was like, oh shit. Okay. But then in a matter of like, I think 5 minutes, it went from that to every single starting wide receiver is out of the game. And then they announced, you know, I was at that night or the next morning, that Jed Wills is also going to be out because he's sick. He was still testing negative, but just, I guess he just got legit sick. Who else are we missing? We were just,
Teller was still out.
He's still off, but he's supposed to be practiced. Today is Wednesday. You're listening to this. He's supposed to be back today, or they're hopefully he's back today. So that went to hell real quick. And, you know, granted, people will say, well, it's just the Jets. Look, 12 hours before a game starts, people don't understand. I don't know if people realize, like, you don't just, there's a game plan. You hear the word game, her words game plan all the time. A game plan is like derived with what you have against who you're going against. This is something like it changes every single week for a reason. You can't just take half our offense away 12 hours before and then expect us just to walk in and be like, oh, we're cool. We're just like we're playing a game of 500 in the backyard. Everyone's already knows this by now, but the plane, so a whole bunch of shit went wrong. I guess the plane was like 4 or 5 hours late to take off from Cleveland for whatever reason. So they're already behind there. And then when they got to New York or New Jersey, wherever they're staying, the next morning, Stefanski took the offense to a parking garage next to the hotel to try and just run a few plays. Cause I think Baker had like just met some of these guys. They call off a few guys from the practice squad like that morning. Think about that. 7 a.m. It's probably 13 degrees in New York and New Jersey. And like Baker's introducing himself to these receivers from the practice squad. And now he's like, okay, we have to go play the Jets in a few hours. So I need you to go run these few plays here. So to do that, to drop that. And like I told you off mic, Stefanski is so cerebral and just so smart that if you would have just given this guy just even 24 hours to figure something out, you know, a lot of things could have happened. But of course, you know, they had to do their Saturday walkthrough on Zoom because of all the COVID stuff. So that was just an absolute worst case scenario. But again, like we said, if you think that the Browns were just going to keep sneaking by without something like this happening. Now, hey, and let's make very clear here. We've read it. The team has said it. Baker said it when he was on the podcast a few months ago. There's not a team that takes COVID more seriously than the Browns. Like they are like the model franchise for how they handle everything and have been all year. That's why we haven't had any big crazy stuff happen like other teams have. So it's 2020, man. This is where we live in.
All right, now I'm mad again thinking about I was while you were speaking. So I was looking up. Like you said, if Kevin Stefanski would have had one more day, two more days.
Just more than 12 hours.
I think that would have mattered. And I was like looking up, like, what the hell happened? I know that there were a bunch of games pushed back this year. Mm-hmm. And so I Googled that and this article came up. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but here we go. Here's a synopsis. Week 4, Pittsburgh Steelers at Tennessee Titans moved Sunday, October 4th to Sunday, October 25th due to multiple COVID, yada, yada, yada. New England Patriots at Kansas City Chiefs moved from Sunday, October 4th to Monday, October 5th. That's both in week 4. Week 5, Buffalo Bills at Tennessee Titans moved Sunday, October 11th to Tuesday, October 13th. 2 days. Week 6, there's like three different teams there. And then I stopped reading. There were like all of these other weeks and it's like boring if I read them all, but long enough that just gets me pissed off. Like, why couldn't they throw the Browns a bone? Like, I realized we didn't test positive, but I guess they still hate us because of Bottlegate.
So I'm with you 100%. And I do think that there needs to be, we don't make excuses here. The team doesn't. The team said Baker and Stefanski. Remind me, we got to get to Baker's press conference too, because I have a lot to. That's my rant of the week is that, look, you know, I was reading and listening to people talk about it. And unfortunately, the league will only cancel or move, or not cancel, postpone a game or move a game if there's positive cases enough. We had all those players out, but they were all negative for COVID. They were just exposed, and the virus can take a few days to actually come out if for some people, right? So unfortunately, the league says, hey, if there's no positives, you need to show up and play. Obviously, money talks, and that's what the league is doing. So it sucks. It's not fair. 2020 isn't fair. I'm just as pissed as everyone else. But here's where we are. And here's what happened because of that.
All right, two silver linings before we get into it, because that's been the theme of this year, silver linings. One, kind of cool that Jarvis and all the receivers are hanging out. Grant, I wish they'd spread out a little bit more, but that screams chemistry. That screams locker room chemistry. They're all buddies. They just happen to be exposed to another buddy that has COVID. So bummer, but, you know, see where I'm going with the silver lining. Two, silver lining. I hope we kick the living shit out of the Steelers on Sunday, but I could hug every one of them. Well, give them a figurative hug from more than 6 feet away for them winning this past Sunday. Because if they don't win that game, our playoff chances are hell of a lot less than what they are now. Right now, we are in a situation where we control our own destiny.
Winning in, baby.
Winning in, out, and probably out. But at least there's that. So, yeah, an emotional game coming up. It's going to be me checking all of us checking the internet for updates pretty much every day from then till now. You're going to hear about things as they unfold on the Friday Five. Shout out us for doing that. But yeah, it's shame on us for tricking ourselves into thinking we're going to stroll into the playoffs. So,
shout out us for doing that on a Christmas Day release, too. No other podcast does that. A lesser podcast wouldn't do that. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just get to it. We can't hide from it. Unfortunately, we already have three guys as of tonight. Tonight, we're recording this on Tuesday on the COVID protocol right now. We got Sendejo. We have allegedly Carl Joseph is now on it. And I'm missing one more.
Sendejo.
Oh, Harrison Bryant. Harrison Bryant.
Wait. He's back, I thought. Is he?
No,
I was thinking, I always get him and Ronnie Harrison confused.
My bad. So, but here's what people need to understand, and I know that there's differences here. Like the COVID protocol is kind of the overarching umbrella thing here. Yes, if you're positive for COVID, you're off for a little while. If you are exposed to someone positive, you have to test negative 5 straight days from the day you were exposed to it to then be able to play. So let's say today's Tuesday. As long as these guys say they got exposed today, which is they could have gotten exposed yesterday or 2 days ago. When we found out Jed got exposed last week, he had actually got exposed 2 days before they even announced it, right? So he was already, you know, it was third day of testing. So let's say that all three of these guys got exposed today. They tested negative today, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. That's 5 straight days. They can come back for Saturday walkthrough, Sunday morning walkthrough, and still play. It would be the best case scenario here. I think people understand that because people keep seeing these and they're not explaining. Well, they see it on Twitter. They go COVID protocol and they go, shit, they're out for 2 weeks. No, it's if they're not positive, it's just 5 days straight of negative tests from the exposure date.
Yeah. Real quick, do you have any update on Jedrick Wills? Because they said he was out with a non-COVID illness. Dude, whenever I hear non-COVID illness,
yeah,
I'm thinking, bullshit, it's COVID.
Yeah, well, so and that's why we're done with our COVID speculation, because I think, remember the 1 week I did the Friday Five, I said Miles will be back in practice tomorrow because that's what all the reporters said, and then he ended up testing positive like the next day.
The first one we did.
Yeah, it was. I said on the Friday Five this past week, Christmas Day Friday Five, that Jedrick Wills should be playing on Sunday. He's out. But to answer your question, the only thing I've seen so far is that he actually flew separate from the team to New York for this Jets game. When he got there, they said he was not, as of then, he was still testing negative for COVID. But just from what I read and from what people are speculating, just felt like shit. Just had started coming with, you know, symptoms that may or may not be COVID. They're not going to release much about that. So they flew him back or put him somewhere just to rest up and get better. But that's the thing. Miles didn't feel well when he was off, you know, before he tested positive. Miles felt like shit, he kept testing negative. And then, like, you know, 4 or 5 days after is when he tested positive. Just happens to be the day after we recorded our first Friday Five.
God, I hate this.
So, dude, I don't know. I mean, there's just no, you know, it's just such a vague gray area that no one knows. So we have to wait till, what is today? Tuesday. We should have a report to Wednesday. So today, if you're listening to the podcast, the day it comes out, we should have an update today on the wide receivers and if they're going to be ready to go today or tomorrow.
All righty. Oh, and before we get into it, we have a couple of apologies to make. I believe that we share the blame for the loss on Sunday. One, we didn't make predictions for the score on the week prior to that podcast, as we've done every other week. The predictions that we make, that affects the game's outcome. I predict a blowout. We forgot to do it. And then the Browns lose. That may not be the entirety of it, but it definitely adds up. It's a factor. Two, this is on me. I butchered the egg chug the day of the game. I tried to do it with a boot from home, like a glass boot. And
glass boot?
Yeah, it didn't go down well. It was bad. I had to redo it. But I felt bad mojo as soon as I did that. Never again. I will do it the normal way from now on.
Okay, and because to add to my apology for that, it was the first game I didn't watch from my couch in Chicago.
Yep.
And
shame on you.
Yeah, so that too. I was worried if that was, now that you say that about the different mug and the different kitchen you were in. Yeah, this is definitely a lot of falls on our shoulders here.
And yeah, actually, now that you mention it, neither did I. I will never be watching a game at my uncle's house again, as much as I love hanging out with him and the family. On three, I didn't start the game wearing the orange pajama pants. Those have been a big factor too. I sprinted home at halftime. We kind of stopped the bleeding once I switched, but it wasn't enough to close out the game. So that's on us, guys. Fear not. We will be locked, loaded, and focused as hell this upcoming Sunday.
Do we want to really even try and dissect any of the Jets game? I think people, or we talked about it into the ground yet.
Yeah, no, it was a shit show. Like, you're missing half of your O-line and receivers.
Oh, really? Yeah, we forgot about that. The O-line was also gone.
Receivers that Baker's probably never thrown to before.
Never met.
Yeah. That is insane. The Jets, they wanted to win. They have, well, two wins now, but every team in the NFL is still a team in the NFL. There are no such things as uncontested layups in this league.
And when people say stuff like, you know, a few weeks ago, oh, Alabama could beat the Jets right now.
It's like, they couldn't. They would get mercilessly slaughtered.
Exactly. That's what it's kind of related, but not. I just want to throw that in there. But Baker, I mean, there's only so much you can do when you literally wake up the morning of a game and don't have an O-line, any of your receivers. What are you gonna do? I mean, again, him and Stefanski came out and said, we had all the pieces we needed to win. It's nothing on the guys that weren't here. We could have won.
That was the football gods coming in and smiting us on that day. There was nothing that we could have done to stop that. And it just happened, but will overcome.
You can't write this ending of the season, 2020 godforsaken year, for this franchise to just have to be, I don't care if it's their C squad. If we beat the Steelers, we go to the playoffs. You can't get any better than that.
Yeah, I agree.
As a Brown fan, you cannot get any better than that. And what I really, really, really do believe for the first time is these players truly do understand how big the rivalry of the situation and how much the city, even though we haven't been able to be there all year, except me and you for a few times, no big deal. You know, they still can feel and hear the fans and how much that it means to this city. And they say it all the time, which is awesome. And like you said, on the interview that we're going to get into here next, we're talking about the hot tubs, that these guys are all hanging out and liking each other. Like, they actually do like each other. When Baker put up that Instagram the other day after the game, you know, you had all the other teammates were like reposting it and commenting on it. Like, we got you six, let's roll. And I've said this 1,000 times on this podcast this season, we've never had a team that actually likes each other like this before.
In the Kareem Hunt interview, I think that like came out today. He was asked about Baker Mayfield's performance or something like that. And he said, you know what? He's got my back and I got his. It's like, yes!
Enough said.
I almost teared up.
So for my rant about Baker's press conference, I haven't seen his press conference post game. From what I read and heard on the radio is that he sat down, he gave a monologue, just he told his side or he said his comments and got up. He didn't take questions, just walked away. And some people were trying to give him shit for that. We said this the first episode of this podcast when we first came out with it over a year and a half to whatever it was. One of the reasons we wanted to start this podcast is because of how god awful we felt a lot of the people in that press conference room are at their jobs and how they represent the Browns and how they ask questions. You people who out there and are trying to complain about him just getting up and walking away, you guys have done nothing to earn him wanting to sit there and say this shit. And again, I'm saying this not because they're friends of the program, been on the program. I said this again before they ever came on this podcast, so don't even try to throw that at me. The questions that you people, not all of them, I said there are a lot that I like, but a lot of these people in there that ask the dumbest, most irrelevant, worthless questions week in and week out to Baker, to coach, to everyone, you cannot then play crybaby and play all hurt that they came in, sat down, said something, and then didn't want to answer your questions. I wouldn't want to answer your questions either. And
they're constantly trying to push some narrative, whatever it is. And
it's bullshit. You
constantly
can't,
negative.
You can't try and act surprised or insulted when all you guys do is just give bullshit questions all year long and write your dumb, stupid tweets and stories. So you know what? I was so happy when I saw that headline that he's got up and walked away, because that was me. I'd done that weeks ago, but he's more respectful than me. So
I was really proud of him. He took, I don't think the blame falls on him, but he took it. He owned up to it. He said, it all falls on me. That's what a leader does. And to quote Kareem Hunt, to quote me quoting Kareem Hunt again, I've got his back, he's got mine.
One more thing on that, because you just reminded me of something that, and some my dad always notices this stuff and points it out. If you've looked in years past, well, actually, you don't even have to. Since Baker started playing quarterback for the Browns, since he was a starter, if you look out on the field, when he's out on the field, even on the sideline, you know who the leader is on that field. It shows. All other successful quarterbacks and all other leaders in any arena, sport, business, anywhere, you can tell if there's a good leader or someone that's well-respected in the room or on the field or wherever it is, they stick out like a sore thumb. You know who is in control when you look out there on that field, because the way these guys follow him into battle, into every one of these plays, and we've never had that with all of our 50 quarterbacks in the past before. So that is great to see. I have nothing else to say on that game. We need to look ahead to this week. It's the biggest game. We keep saying that every week because it keeps, unfortunately, being the biggest game of the past however long. I'm ride or die. I got my coach. I got my quarterback. I'm ready to roll. I don't want to talk about the Jets game anymore. I don't care. Let's do it. Before we get over to our interview with Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com and talk about our upcoming game, we do want to give another quick shout out to our good friend, Tom Seipel, Seipel Strong.
Ooh, Tom Seipel. Yeah, he was on the podcast last week. Let's put his GoFundMe in the link and also a link to that article. He made the headlines in Cleveland.
Yeah, if there's anyone who needs a playoff win, it's our buddy Tom. So Seipel Strong, look him up. Look at his Instagram. We'll put all his stuff in the episode description. Tom, we're pulling for you. Nothing but the best. And we look forward to talking to you after the first playoff game that we've had in a long time.
Look forward to kicking the shit out of the Steelers this Sunday.
Let's go.
A long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last.
We now welcome back onto the Dogs of War podcast reoccurring guest, Mr. Dave Bryan. Dave is a creator of SteelersDepot.com and host of the Terrible Podcast. It's not a terrible podcast. It's called the Terrible Podcast, a Steelers podcast that can be found on all streaming platforms.
It's a terrible podcast.
It actually is a terrible podcast, but
nonsense. Dave, sir, welcome back. Happy holidays. Thanks for joining us. How are we doing?
Hey, my pleasure, guys. Great to be back with you again for, I don't know, I guess this would be another Super Bowl for you guys this week here. But obviously a big game for the Browns, and it sounds like we're going to do you guys a solid this weekend.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about here. First of all, damn you Steelers fans. So let's get right into it. It's been a while since our first meeting this season. You were on the podcast before our first game of the year. You guys stayed undefeated, which was not that big of a surprise, until playing the Washington football team a few weeks ago, December 7th. And like I told you off mic before we came on, I would have bet, not that I own a house, I would have bet the house that you guys would have won that game with ease. But you guys lost to them and then lost the two games after that. So coming in as undefeated with a defense that was just a rabid force of nature, it's just real simple. What people in Cleveland want to know, what the heck happened to you guys the last month of the season?
Plain and simple, Ben Roethlisberger not able, drops for one thing, put drops in one category because they were absolutely horrendous in this last really two and a half game stretch when it comes to drops. Now, drops are not the only reason you're going to win a football game or lose a football game, although that did play a big role in those games. But plain and simple, they could not push the football down the field. Look, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what wins games at the NFL level. You have to have explosive plays of 20 yards or longer, and you can't turn the football over. If you're not producing explosive plays, and if you're turning the football over, and if you're not producing turnovers on the other side, and not preventing explosive plays on the other side, if you finish negative two in what they call the TOX stat, which is turnovers and explosive plays, and then the differential between the two teams, or the two totals of the teams in a certain game, if you lose that by minus two, in any given game, 80% of the time you're going to lose the football game. And the Washington game, Ben was not good at pushing the football down the field. Buffalo and Cincinnati, really the same instances there. A quick stat for you just on the Cincinnati game alone. Ben Roethlisberger attempted, I think it was 13 or 14 passes that flew 10 or more yards past the line of scrimmage. He completed just one of them, all right? You're not going to win football games if you don't get explosive plays. Now, earlier in the season, the Steelers had a lot of what they call catch short and run long and producing explosive plays. But it's so hard once teams start getting, kind of honing in on you that you're not able to complete the ball deep down the field. And B, if they start just trying to, making sure they tackle the catch up underneath on those shorter routes, then it's going to set you up to have a lot of drives where you go 10, 12, 13 plays for a touchdown. And we all know that that's not the way you win football games in the National Football League. Now, on top of that, the defense has had its moments on top of it. Now, overall, the defense hasn't been bad when you look at the sacks, when you look at the turnovers and things like that. Now, they did not force a turnover against the Bengals. That was key in that game. But if you're not getting the turnovers and if you're allowing the occasional explosive play like they did, against Washington and obviously Buffalo and all like that. So overall, if you want to pin this loss on that string of three losses on any side of the football, you have to pin it on the offensive side. And a lot of the blame, and look, they can't run the football for crap. And they're not going to be able, if they get 120, 130 yards in a game, you have to throw a parade at this point. Because they're just struggling when it comes to that aspect of it. But plain and simple, Ben Roethlisberger not being able to push the football down the field and them not being able to run the football played a big part in that three-game losing streak.
So expanding on that, Dave, when it comes to Ben Roethlisberger, what's the word on the street? Is he running out of gas? Is he hurt? I know he's not playing Sunday. We'll get to that, but he didn't look like himself against the Bengals. He was snailing a lot of balls. It was kind of bizarre watching. But what's the word? Is he running out of steam?
What is the one thing You've obviously followed the Browns for a long time. You've seen a lot of Browns-Steelers games. You've seen probably quite a few Steeler games. What is the one thing that Ben Roethlisberger has been known for throughout his career?
Beating the Browns.
No. Besides that.
His arm?
His ability to extend
plays. And closing games. He's the guy that you want in those tough game situations. Yeah.
But let's just talk about like middle of the game kind of type things. You know, how many times have you said, man, I can't believe Ben Roethlisberger made that play, the extending the play, the throwing two guys off of him and holding, you know, extending the play and throwing the ball down to a wide receiver 5 seconds after the ball has been snapped. When's the last time you've seen those kind of plays from Ben Roethlisberger?
I don't watch. My attention goes to the Browns.
Okay.
And the Steelers when they're on prime time, really, or the Steelers when they most recently lost to the Bengals. And I'm just, all I could say is that he didn't look like himself. I have no idea. You're the Steelers guy.
What's wrong with his ass? He's not, if you go back to the 2018 season, he hasn't been able to connect down the field either. Father Time is undefeated. He's 38 years old. He can't escape the pocket like he used to and all. The explosive plays are what missing. And obviously you no longer have Antonio Brown as part of that offense, who made a lot of plays after the catch, during the last couple seasons he was, with the Steelers. He's having to become more of a cerebral quarterback now. He's having to try to win games with getting a firm understanding of what the defense is showing him and making quick reads and occasionally throwing down the field on the outside against cover one. He hasn't been able to consistently do that. And when you ask your quarterback, really any quarterback, to drop back game in and game out and throw the football 40 to 50 times, you just set yourself up to fail. Then throw in on top of it, not having a running game to lean on at all. It's just a combination of everything. And, you know, it is troublesome. I don't think there's anything so much wrong with his arm. You know, obviously coming off the elbow surgery and all like that. Look, he's not throwing the ball 60 yards anymore like he did 3, 4, 5 years ago. But he's still got some. I think we saw in that game against the Colts, he's got some zip on it still. It's just his ability to throw the football down the field has not been there consistently. Now, if there was an upside to it, we did see that in the second half against the Colts. Okay, so that was the positive there. But the previous games ahead of that, look, he's coming to the end of the road. Is that going to be after the 2021 season? It very well could be. He's signed through the 2021 season. Assuming he stays healthy, that might be it.
Dave, I was reading some of the Pittsburgh writers. I can't think of who exactly. One thing, you guys will never talk bad about Big Ben. Rarely, if ever. I've never seen it. But some people that I saw were saying, you know, I've covered Big Ben since his first game in a Steelers jersey, and that Bengals game was the worst game of his career, in their opinion. Would you agree with that?
It was one of the worst ones. You have to go back, and he's had some bad games. You know, the five interception game against the Jaguars.
He's been down. He's been down before. Like, that's why even like in the fourth quarter, I'm like, all right, we've seen this script 100 times with Big Ben. He'll find some way to come out of this and, of course, piss all of us Browns fans off. But that one game for just him, not the team, was it his worst game you've ever seen?
Man, I'm 50 something years old, and I've seen every one of them since 2004, and you know, I do have a good memory when it comes to a lot of them. I will say this: it's in the top five. How's that? You know, I would have to go back and refresh my memory on a few. He's had bad games. Let's not kid ourselves. But the fact, it goes back to that stat that I told you, one of 14 on passes thrown more than 10 yards down the field. I mean, you're not going to win ball games doing that, you know, and that was the most concerning aspect of that game. And plus, he missed a couple receivers, you know, Claypool running down the seam a couple times, missed him, throwing the deep ball in that situation. Was it bad? Yeah. I'm not ready to say it was its worst of his career, but it was definitely up there.
We missed some receivers on Sunday too, actually all of them. So I understand what you mean there in another way. Looking ahead to this Sunday's game, Dave, you know, Tomlin is notoriously silent on injuries and his roster. You know, he's like Belichick at the press conferences. He said today or yesterday, Big Ben's going to sit for the Browns game. Who else should we expect not to play? Are all the starters going to start and then maybe they come out if you guys get up? What's happening with this roster? Who should we expect to be sitting out on Sunday?
All right. Well, you know, as you know, in today's COVID landscape, you can elevate two players a week from the practice squad if you want to, and you can technically go into game day with a 55-man roster. And if you dress 8 offensive linemen in total, then you can dress 48 players in total. So, and then that would leave you with a 7-man inactive list. So they will have 7 men that more than likely they will elevate a couple of kids from the practice squad. And that will allow them to have a 7-man inactive list. We already know Ben's going to be on that inactive list. So that's one. I would go ahead and count on Cameron Hayward being held out of this game. There's no reason to play him in this game because of his age, and you know, he doesn't need to play. And plus, they've got an extra defensive lineman or two that can handle that rotation. I would not expect Joe Hayden to play. They want to try to keep him.
That was my next question.
Yeah, I would not expect Joe Hayden to play. So that's another one there. I would not be shocked, because they've got an extra running back on the 53-man roster, and last week the rookie Anthony McFarland was inactive, and they really need to get him some carries or whatnot. And I would not be surprised if James Conner is held out of this game. Every time that Ben Roethlisberger sits out one of these we need to rest a guy type game, Marquise Pouncey always sits out as well too. So I would expect Pouncey, Roethlisberger, Cam Hayward, Joe Hayden, and maybe James Conner. That's 5 right there. And of course, we'll see how injuries, you know, if there's anybody that's injured that needs to sit out. So those are the mainstays. One other look, they don't, if TJ Watt plays, he's not going to play the full game. I mean, that's kind of silly, but they're kind of light on outside linebackers, right? They have 5 in total, and one was inactive last week with an injury. So they might dress TJ Watt, might lather him up a little bit, play him about first quarter or something, and then pull him to the side there. But those are probably the 5 big names right there. And we'll see what happens with Stephon Tuitt. He's probably not going to play the full game. They'll probably try to get David DeCastro out of there kind of quick as well too. So, you know, any veteran guy you'll start that does play, they're probably going to have a hook on them, about as many of them as they can, of course, at about halftime.
So are the Steelers, is their mindset just, I mean, I know there's situations and scenarios where you can move up to what, the second seed, but is the mood and just the attitude like, we're the third seed, it is what it is, let's come into the playoffs healthy and just forget all about this week 17 game against the Browns?
Basically, now Mike Tomlin today, you know, spoke to the media, yeah, yada, yada, trying to win, yada, 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 yada. We all know, I mean, in so many words, he said, look, you know, the Chiefs have the number one seed, so that's unattainable. That's the bed that we made. We got to lie in it, all that. You know, there's no difference. Is there really a difference between the second and third seed at this point? I mean, they're already going to play at home at worst as the number 3 seed. Playing for the number 2 seed is not worth the risk of playing some of these guys. Now, will they formulate a generic game plan to try to win this thing? Absolutely. Look, I mean, you can't just tell players to lay down. I mean, right. A lot of, you know, guys are playing for their future and trying to make an impression and put good things down on tape and all. But let's make no mistake about it. This game means nothing for the Steelers in the win-loss column, because there really is no really noticeable difference between the number 2 and number 3 seed at this point in this new format.
My thought on everything you said, I agree with. It's logical, but considering the past month that they've had, if Is there any component of them looking at this of, hey, let's get some things tuned up before we do play the games that do matter? Because up until that Colts win, which that was a nail biter for you guys, I'm assuming.
And us.
And us. Yeah, thank you, by the way. It's like, this isn't the Steelers of old, just blatantly, like, where you can skip out the past two games going into the playoffs. Like, you're not where you thought you were towards the beginning of the season when you're undefeated. You ran into a losing streak. It happens. But is there a component of, let's figure out some things, let's have some guys fight for their positions? I don't know, anything along the lines of that, and shut out a division opponent in the process.
I see where you're going, but let's be honest with each other here. What are you going to accomplish in let's say a good half of football? Okay, because once again, the win isn't overly important. So, and then you are kind of coming out at least on a positive on the second half of that Colts game. Now, if you had won the Colts game and it been a good first half and you just hold on barely, and if the halves were reversed, then you know maybe you're thinking, oh Lord, what the heck's going on here? But at least they got, they worked out a few things in the second half of that game. The defense obviously played better, and offense 14 times better than they did in the first half. They're not going to solve their running game in one half of football, period. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And here's the thing too: what happens if they turn around and have to play the Browns in the first round of playoffs? Do you really want to put a lot? Look, what's on tape is on tape, right? I mean, teams, let's face it, teams, due to the CBA and all like that, you don't get a lot of time in practice to change up stuff throughout the season. You are what you are pretty much the time that you break training camp. Yeah, you put some wrinkles on some things and some formations and some personnel groupings. You change a couple of route combinations, on a couple of play calls here and there. But you are pretty much who you are at this point in the season. So what you do is, look, this game is obviously a lot more important to the Browns than it is the Steelers. So you go in there very generic. Look, you got to get Mason Rudolph some work here. You got to find out who he is. This is really his first real game. Now, he did play in the Bengals game for a half after getting conked over the head by Myles Garrett, a year ago there. But he was awful in that game, and he got benched in that game. And outside of getting a little bit of work in that Jets game after Duck got benched last season, he didn't get any steps. And all he's gotten this season is a couple of kneel downs, So you got to at least get Mason Rudolph some work. God forbid you should need him at any point during the playoffs. So there is nothing to gain whatsoever to go all the way out trying to beat Cleveland. No.
I will say, I've been saying this on the podcast the last few weeks. I've been saying it to Raleigh off mic, that, and I've been preaching this to people that listen to us as well, to not get caught up in all those 50 million different scenarios of who has to win this and do this and that for us to have this happen. It's just a headache, and it's a panic attack. You just don't need to put yourself through. However, all of that being said, I'd be lying if I said I have not been, unfortunately, very much noticing the possibility of us having to go to Pittsburgh if we win this Sunday to play you guys for the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what the draw is, that's what the draw is, right?
Which would be just outrageous.
Yeah. Well, we'll take it, though. I mean, just get us there, get us somewhere in January.
And look, let's not kid ourselves here. Yeah, the Steelers have had it's not been a good month of December, right? Nobody should try to paint it that way. But if you had been if you take a Steelers fan and you said, look, we're going to put you in a coma, and when you get out of this thing, you're going to be what are they, 12-3 heading into the finale, will you take it no matter what the scenario is? There'd be people cutting off fingers to trade for that, that kind of thing. So yep. I'm sure it would be the same with the Browns right now, regardless of what has happened with you guys right now up until this point. If someone told you, look, at the beginning of the season, I promise you that they will be going into week 17, playing a Steelers team that does not need to win for a right to go into playoffs. And oh yeah, if you, it might result in you having to play Pittsburgh back to back weeks. You guys would have been jumping off bridges to do that, you know?
The 480 bridge, to be exact, but yes.
So no, you guys should sit back and watch the game and, you know, chart it or what have you, and try to learn as much of, you know, about whatever team that they might end up facing. But yeah, don't give yourself an ulcer, you know, unless you're behind on the scoreboard to the Steelers at some point. But look, you guys are, as of this morning, I think we're 7-point favorites over the Steelers. The last time I believe the Browns were 7-point favorites over the Steelers was 1989. I was 3 years out of high school when that happened. So
I was 3 months old.
So live it up.
So you brought this up a second ago. So the last thing I wanted to ask you here tonight, Dave, is, and the reason why I respect your opinion on this next question is because I know that at Steelers Depot, the Terrible Podcast, you guys are football guys. You guys don't really play into the drama or the clickbait shit that you'll see, you know, on other blogs, other sites. What is the temperature like? I still see people are still trying to force the Rudolph, Garrett story to come back. Not that it ever totally went away. And obviously, no matter whose side you're on, you know, the one guy is the aggressor, the other guy's not. What is the temperature like of that storyline for the Pittsburgh sidelines here? Is that still being talked about? Are people just kind of forgotten about it? Is this the last chapter in that story, the him against him on you know, this coming Sunday, or what's the deal there?
Really, for the most part, it's not that big a deal now. Remember, this is Tuesday. Mike Tomlin just announced earlier today that Mason Rudolph's going to be the starter. The media machine's just getting started.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
I mean, Mary Kay Cabot's going to, I'm sure, start digging in, asking Stefanski and Miles Garrett, and asking all your side about the storyline because Mason's playing. I think Mason's probably going to meet the media in Pittsburgh on probably Wednesday or Thursday. He's going to get 16 different questions about it as well, too. So it's, here we are on Tuesday night. Is it a story right now? No. But as the week goes on, by the time we get to kickoff and the pregame shows, you're going to see that clip 25 times, I bet you. Okay, so yep. It all boils down right now to just the teams themselves. The media is going to do what they do, right? I mean, nobody's going to stop that. The questions, all like that. Just trying to down both sides, just need to try to downplay this thing as much as they can, and just go from there. This is a big game for Mason Rudolph. You got to figure he would love nothing than to pull a Landry Jones and beat the Browns in week 17, even though it's a meaningless game, and that somehow keep Myles Garrett and the Browns out of playoffs. So it's personal to him. Okay. Second, they need to find out who this kid is. All right. One way or the other, they got to find out who this kid is. Now, he's probably not going to have Marquise Pouncey in front of him, and that's not going to be fair, but at least he should have all five wide receivers out there and a good portion of the offensive line. They really need to find out who this kid is in Mason Rudolph on Sunday. If he craps the bed like he did, against the Browns last season and in the first half of football that he played against the Bengals, then, you know, that, you know, you gotta really question then what is he at that point there. So the big storyline will probably come back to, look, we know who Myles Garrett is, right? I mean, guys competing for, you know, Defensive Player of the Year right now. Nobody's going to question, well, is Myles Garrett worth this or that, the other? You know, we already know he's a premier player in the National Football League, you know, top paid, you know, edge rusher in the league, that kind of thing here. The big storyline and the most pressure in this game, if you ask me, is going to fall on the two quarterbacks in this game. Baker Mayfield, especially coming off the game that he just came off of, and Mason Rudolph. And then that should be the storyline. But before kickoff, like I said, you're going to see the Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph storyline twisted 18 different ways.
Dave, always appreciate having you on. Like I said, the last time we had you on, the reason why you're always my favorite opposing team guest to bring on is because you naturally answered 5+ questions I have written down.
Oh, I talk a lot.
No. But it's art. It's beautiful, and that's why you're my favorite interview to do here. But as you know, you've been on here a few times before. Before we close out, once again, Dave Bryan, creator of SteelersDepot.com and host of the Terrible Podcast. Check them out. Look, it's tough to say, but it's a hell of a website. They bust their butts over there. They have more content than probably many other team website you'll ever find. We got to end it with predictions here. So you're the guest. You're going to have to go first. Then I'll go, and then Raleigh will close us out.
Okay, I'll do this. Browns, look, the Steelers defense should be able to play okay in this one. But I don't think the Steelers are going to win this. I just think it's a little asking too much to try to get some of these guys out of the game, that kind of thing. I think the Steelers cover that 7, though, somehow. So let's go 23-17 Browns. So take that extra $100 that Grandma gave you and put it on Steelers plus the 7 points in this one.
My predictions never have the Browns losing, but with this one, I see the Browns winning, but I think it's going to be something real, just dumb and obnoxious scoreboard wise. I'm saying Browns 16, Steelers 9.
I'm going to go with Browns 36, Steelers 14. It's been a long December for the Steelers. Let's hope it continues in the new year.
Dave Bryan, thank you again very much, sir, for coming on. Best of luck to you over there on Sunday, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Peace and love, guys. Thanks for having me.
Take care. Dave.
A long December, and there's reason to believe maybe this year will be better than the last.
So that does it for us. We'll see you guys back next week after the Steelers game. Raleigh, say goodnight.
Good night, Kevin. Good night, Cleveland. I still believe.
I still believe as well. Good night, Cleveland.